Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Your daily encouragement that God has the world in the hollow of his hand. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
Have you spent much time, prior to this week, have you spent much time thinking about essential services? Like essential, what exactly does that mean? You're going to hear increasingly that you and I are discouraged from engaging in any non-essential travel and any non-essential, leaving of our house and going and doing something. So what is essential? Who is defining that, or how is that defined? And what are the essential services? Well, I'm going to give you the legal definition. All right. So essential services are services, no matter who renders them. Okay. So essential services are services by whomsoever rendered. It's the definite. You can tell it's a fancy definition when it uses the word whomsoever. By whomsoever rendered, and whether rendered to or by the government, or to or by any other person. The interruption of which, here's the important part, the interruption of which would endanger the life, health, or personal safety of the whole or part of the population. So when you are deciding whether or not what you are about to go and do is essential, ask yourself, if I did not do this, if I stayed home instead of going to do this thing, would it endanger the life, the health, or the personal safety of the whole or part of the population? That's the essential question you and I are going to be asking in the coming days in determining for ourselves what is and is not essential. Is it essential that I physically go to my church building on a particular corner at a particular time on a particular day to worship God? No, because God can be worshiped anywhere all the time. And I am able to engage actually in corporate worship via technology now in ways that in prior generations I would not have been able to. So it is no longer essential that I go to a physical church building in order to worship the Lord my God. So although I might prefer to do that, that might be my preference. I would really like to do that. I miss my church friends. It is not by this definition essential, nor is the provision of those services by my church essential. They are not considered essential services. And so when you think about essential services, I want you to be praying today for the people who are providing essential services. If they quit doing what they're doing, our individual and our corporate lives would be endangered, the life, health, and personal safety of all or part of our community. So I'm going to lift up some essential services: farmers, truck drivers, the people who make sure that your gas station has gas, and the people who make sure your gas station is operational because they provide the power. Essential services today would also include the internet. Okay, so the people who are working to make sure the internet stays up and running during these days are essential. First responders, medical personnel, the people at the post office, actually essential. All right, so there are some essential things that are a part of who we are as a people. And then there are a lot of non-essential things. And so basic sustenance is essential. Having the privilege of eating at your favorite restaurant on a particular day to celebrate something in your life that you think is important is actually not essential to the well-being of the country writ large. And right now, that's the conversation we have to be having with ourselves and with those we love best in the world. So I have a dear, dear friend who very much wants to, pack up and go see the grandparents, because after all, kids are not in school. And so this is prime time, right? Go see the grandparents. Okay, I don't know how strongly I can communicate why that is such a bad idea. All right. We need to be about setting aside the things that we think we want, and instead considering the concerns of others as more important than ourselves. So grandma and grandpa do not need your germs. You need to keep your germs at your house, and you need to allow them to be isolated. You know, not in terms of growing lonely in terms of isolation. You need to provide for their needs, but let us also provide for their protection by not taking all of the germs that you might accumulate between your house and wherever they are, and, you know, and arriving with all of that. All right. So next up, Dr. David Stevens, who's the head of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. He and I are going to talk about some recommendations, you know, for us and those who contract the coronavirus. We're going to talk about who is at greatest risk. And then I'm going to ask him some questions that people have been asking me, like, if you get it, how long are you contagious, or how long does it last? And can you get it again? Like, anyway, those are the questions I'm going to ask Dr. Stevens in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow.
Joining me now, Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. You can find them at cmda.org. Dr. Stevens, welcome back.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Well, I am well. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing a lot of interviews. This thing is really getting bigger than we even imagined a few weeks ago. So I know it's affected you all in Minnesota as well.
Yeah, it's affected people literally, I mean, literally everywhere, right? I mean, unless you're in West Virginia, you are in a state that has a verified case of the coronavirus. I do think that we are getting to the place where there, you know, we're only any of us going to be a few degrees at most of separation from someone who has it. And so, you know, I learned yesterday that one of the people who works at my YMCA, you know, tested positive for the coronavirus. And so, you know, so there are places that are maybe surprisingly still open. The Y seems like an odd place to still be open in terms of all of the germs that we share with one another in sweaty environments. But so let's talk about who's most at risk and some of the things that we ought to be restricting ourselves from doing.
Well, we actually have some great data that's come out recently from China on who actually gets it. And about 87% of the people between 30 and 79 years of age, actually under age 9, which is very interesting, it's less than 1%. 20-somethings, about 8%. So teens, 1.2%. So those younger ages, at least in China, have not gotten this disease, which is good news for those with children and grandchildren. The ones at greatest risk are the people, the older they are and the sicker they are. In fact, the death rate for everyone's about 2 to 3%, 2 to 2.5%. But for people over 80, if they get this, it's about 15%. So they cannot resist the virus. Their immunity is not as good. Often they have other comorbidities, other things that they have, illnesses that that make this more serious. So the older you are, or the less healthy you are, the greatest risk you have with this disease.
So when we think about the reason that we would restrict our own activities, it really is for the protection of the most vulnerable at this point. Am I accurate in saying that?
Yeah, but it's just the spread. I was just thinking about this morning. The average person that gets this gives it to two other people. So let's take that, for example. I mean, we don't know that concrete, but that's what's estimated. So take this example. I offer you $10,000, Carmen, or I'll give you 2 cents a day, but I'll double it every day for a month. Which would you take?
And yeah, I'm taking that doubling rate.
Yeah, it's over $1 billion. So that shows how this thing can begin to spread and get out of control. We only, you know, in the thousands of confirmed cases across the country. So why is everybody in a panic? Because this spread is getting out of control and it's doubling. Here in Tennessee, we had 9 cases last Friday. By Saturday, we had 18. By Sunday, we had 40-some. You see the pattern here and you read that data and you go, whoa, uh-oh, we've got to stop the spread. And the only way to do that, of course, is social distancing and not passing it on to others.
So in terms of the total number of cases globally, we ought to expect to continue to see that rise. Let's talk a little bit about what your expectations are. I think that people like to know what to expect. Let's talk a little bit about the expectation in terms of the cases you expect to see diagnosed here in the United States as testing is more and more readily available.
Yeah, the government's actually putting together huge trucks with people that are going around being able to test in remote locations. This is going to be much more common. I believe we'll have drive-through testing within the next couple of weeks where you can go in your car and they will actually test you as you sit there in the driver's seat. They've done that in Korea and tested a lot of people. People worry, what is the test? They actually take a swab of your throat and a swab of your nose. It's a little uncomfortable for a few minutes because they go pretty far back in your nose to get the sample. A rapid test is coming out. What we're expecting is this is going to continue to get worse. What they're going to be looking for is you know, we're shutting down sporting events, shutting down restaurants, shutting down schools, shutting down whatever, is to decrease the curve. In other words, we're going up at a rapid rate, and what we need to do is what happened in China. It leveled off and then began to decrease. And so we'll try to decrease the rate and then level it off, and then we'll begin to see it drop. So that's why all these things that disrupt our daily lives are so important, because if not, that rate is going to increase exponentially, and this will touch all of us unless we stop that curve.
All right, I'm talking with Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. He and I are going to take a very brief break. When we come back, I'm going to ask him for some recommendations on what to do if you or a loved one contracts the coronavirus. We'll be right back.
Fear is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps.
Fear. I'm talking with Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical and Dental Association. You can find them at cmda.org. Dr. Stevens, if we contract it, or if someone we love in our household contracts the coronavirus, COVID-19, could you give us some recommendations on what to do?
Sure. If you get sick with any upper respiratory tract infection, whether you even know it's COVID or not, you need to stay home except to get medical care. Avoid public areas, avoid public transportation, don't go to the grocery store, stay home. Separate yourself from other people and animals in your home. It's interesting they're recommending the animals, because we know this is a zoonotic virus. It came from animals, and the concern is that animals could carry it. We don't know for sure, but don't cuddle with your pets, your cat or your dog or whatever. If you're sick, stay away from others. Call ahead before visiting your doctor. Just don't show up at your doctor's office. They need to be prepared to, they'll put you in a separate room. They'll put a mask on you so you can't give this to others as easily. If you cough, you send out droplets 3 to 6 feet, and they hang in the air for up to 3 hours. So they don't want those droplets in the office. They're going to put a mask on you. Wear a face mask if you're sick, and then if you're caring for others, if you have someone in your home that is sick and could have COVID virus, you want to wear a face mask. Cover your coughs and sneezes. Dispose of Kleenexes and things, and clean out the trash can regularly. People should wear gloves while they're doing that, or wash their hands immediately after touching anything like that. The person sick should clean their hands often. Soap and water's best. Hand sanitizer is second best. Avoid sharing personal household items. Don't share dishes, drinking glasses, cups, towels, bedding, and wash everything thoroughly after use. Anything that you're touching needs to be cleaned at least every day. Easiest thing to do is just go get the Clorox and put 5 tablespoons of Clorox in a gallon of water. It's a great disinfectant. Or 4 teaspoons in a quart of water. Put it in a spray bottle. Spray things down. And that'll help kill the virus very quickly. It can stay on surfaces for up to 9 hours. In some studies, other studies said 5 hours. So cleaning surfaces is important. Monitor your medical symptoms. If you start having shortness of breath and difficulty breathing, your respiratory rate goes up, you need to immediately get health care and probably go to the emergency room. Alert your health department. Your doctor will probably test you, but if you're positive, the doctor will do that for you and let the health department know. And then you'll be sick for about 2 weeks. This takes about 5 days to show up and then about 2 weeks to disappear. and your healthcare provider will let you know when it's safe for you to continue being around people again. So a lot of things to it, but mainly it's isolation and protecting others.
Are you contagious the whole time?
It peaks right around when the symptoms are the worst, but as far as we know, you're contagious the whole time. But the viral load, the amount of virus that you're spreading, begins to decrease. And they've actually looked at that, and the far end of it is 2 weeks. So that's why you need to be isolated for 2 weeks. By 2 weeks, you're not spreading the virus any longer.
Okay, and then can you get it again?
Not that we know of. And with most viruses, you build up immunity to that virus. That's why you get over it, because the virus actually, a virus actually goes in and takes over cells in your body and has those cells begin to make more virus for it. It kind of grabs your cells and makes little factories out of them. Well, your immune system says, whoa, watch out. And so the immune system begins to attack those viruses and killing them. It takes a while to get over it because some of those virus particles are still hiding in cells and taking over machinery. But after 2 weeks, that's better. And you should have immunity for life, at least against that virus.
And then COVID-19 is the specific name of the variety of this particular coronavirus. But coronavirus is a big wide category. Am I accurate in saying that?
That's true. And most of the coronaviruses we don't have much problem with. They cause colds. But what's happening, these are zoonotic. That means they've come through animals. There's been three of them so far, SARS, MERV. SARS started in China. It came from civet cats. They were the intermediate host, passed it on to humans. The MERS, which is the Mideastern one, came from camels. This one, just recently, the report is it may have come from snakes. They eat snakes. I've been to Taiwan. They serve snakes at the market, and you can buy them and take them home and eat them. And there's some evidence that that may be the intermediate host. The first host is bats. We know that. All three of these viruses came from bats initially, but then were passed on to other animals, which passed on to us. The problem with these new viruses, we have no immunity to them. Our bodies have never seen them before. And so they jump from animals to humans, and that's what makes them so deadly. Until we build up resistance around the world through immunity or a vaccine. Good news is, Carmen, they started stage one trials with a vaccine this week, and they're starting with 45 people taking different doses, two different doses of this, and set different doses for different groups, and then each take two injections. And they're going to see if there's side effects and then go to bigger trials to see effectiveness. So we're making progress, but we're still a good ways away from getting a viral a vaccine for this virus, because I would guess it would be the end of the year or even later.
Dr. Stevens, I know that we have, you know, lots of Christians listening who are concerned about vulnerable populations like the homeless. Any sense of like how we as a nation are going to respond to exposed communities who have very little ability to do the kinds of things that we have talked about in terms of self-care?
Yeah, it's a risk not only for them, it's a risk for everyone else because they're not getting the care they need or the isolation they need. Fortunately, we have a law in the books that anybody can go to an emergency room and be treated whether they can pay for it or not. But there is already efforts underway to try to find places for these people to live where they can be monitored and also have and I think it's something we need to be doing, not just for the homeless, but for elderly, for the shut-ins and everyone else. I spoke at our church on Sunday three times this week. We won't probably have services next week, but I said, this is a great opportunity for us as Christians to show the love of Christ. God says, love your neighbor. And God says, put yourself at risk for others. That doesn't mean you don't take precautions when you go visit them, but we should be providing food for people who can't get to the store. We need to be taking care of the sick that are by themselves and at home. And this is an opportunity for us to have a witness to our neighbors and to the world, as well as doing what God has told us to do. And that's my son's a hospitalist in a large hospital in the South. He's putting his life at risk every day. He called me the other day and said, you know, things are going to get bad. I may send my daughter and our four grandkids up to be with you guys because I don't want to take this home to them. But that's the things we're dealing with. But we do that with joy, not with fear. We do it because God called us to serve. He says, fear not. I am with you. Don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We do the right things, but we don't isolate ourselves from the needs of others and take precautions as we can, but we help take care of them. I think this is a great opportunity because God does his best work often in crisis is when we can show him the best to others.
Amen. Dr. Stevens, we're going to be praying for you, in particular that your voice continues to make you able to speak on behalf of Christians in the medical and dental professions, because the way that you speak into these concerns is powerful and important. So thank you so much for being with us today. Be assured of our prayers for you and others in on the front lines of this healthcare concern. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Carmen.
We'll be right back.